Hey everyone, welcome in to a daily editorial here on the KE Report. We're kicking off today with John Rubino, founder and editor of The Dollar Collapse. Now, John, we are chatting late in the day on Monday, but I am releasing this early on Tuesday because I just want to get something out early for everyone to, I guess, recap what's happened over the last couple days of trading, where the precious metals have really gotten whacked, and it started on Friday after that jobs data, and then Sunday night, early morning Monday, we saw some serious volatility, and at one point, silver had given up almost $2 in a matter of 3 trading days, and it did rebound a little bit from that level, but overall, pressure remains on precious metals, and there's a number of reasons for it, maybe. Better economic U.S. data, U.S. dollar that's also moving higher, yields that have reversed and started moving higher, maybe a slowdown in inflation, and more of a risk-on attitude for investors. Seems like across the board, everything's going against gold right now, and that could be why it's getting hit so hard. John, what's your takeaway from this continued weakness in gold that now has been correcting for almost a year?
Hey, Corey. Hey, Shad. Well, yeah, the last couple of days have been brutal. And I think we can attribute that to the fact that, like you said, we got some really good economic numbers in a lot of different places just lately. And now the fear is shifting to overheating. And you're seeing a lot of trial balloons be launched. From talking heads in the various big central banks about, well, you know what, maybe it's time to start tapering. Maybe we need to to tighten at some point. And markets in hyper-leveraged economies tend to overreact to things like that. Even the words scare them. And that seems to be what's happening with gold and silver right now. Everybody's piling out of what is the absolute safest hedge against inflation. On the chance that central banks are actually going to go through with tightening this time. But you know how this goes, though. I mean, we've seen this so many times before, where central banks either actually tighten or at least start talking about it, and then the financial markets go crazy and threaten just to collapse, and the central banks take it back. And so you get that, you get this dynamic where it's, yeah, we might tighten in another 6 months or by year end or early next year for sure. And then the financial markets tank and they say, you know what, we didn't really mean that. You know, did you think we were actually going to tighten? No, we were just speculating. Come on, just thinking out loud. We'll ease for at least another 3 years. And so we have that in our future where the financial markets scare the central banks again and they back off. Because really, there will never be another tightening. There can never in this situation, you know, with the amount of debt that we've taken on and the amount of leverage that's out there otherwise. It's impossible for central banks to tighten. Either one or all of them together just can't happen. So, you know, this stuff that's happening now, it's kind of just background noise where this kind of discussion has to take place in response to good numbers, but nothing can really come of it. So to the extent that gold and silver are the assets getting whacked right now, I would say this is probably at some point another buying opportunity, especially in the mining stocks, which are getting hit hard because you know out there sometime in the not too distant future is the Fed reversing course. And that's usually good for at least precious metals and maybe financial assets in general. We'll see. But I don't think this is anything to be worried about.
Yeah, John, that's what I was going to ask you about, because we noticed a lot of the central banks in other countries start their tightening cycles a little earlier, and a lot of them have had to reverse course where the Fed just held steady. And it's not just the tightening that people are worried about. They're also worried about taking the punch bowl away and the tapering. So there's tightening and tapering. If they taper what they're spending on the bond market, my question is, who's going to buy it? And at one point, couldn't they just be forced into the same situation like many other central banks where they have to reverse course again? And would that bring a bid back to gold if they did that?
Yeah, well, it has in the past. Like I said, very familiar. You know, this is the kind of thing that's happened several times in the last decade. And because they have no other choice but to take it back when the stock market starts to tank and interest rates start to get extremely volatile, there's no reason to think that they won't do it again this time because they really don't have any other choice. You know, the Fed is so totally boxed in right now, or really all the central banks are totally boxed in by the excessive ease, excessive money creation that they've had to pursue to fix past mistakes. And so now we're indebted just off the charts. You know, there's never been a society that was as deeply in debt as the U.S. or really the whole developed world right now. You know, we did an experiment with fiat currencies where we basically gave ourselves an unlimited credit card and then proceeded to max out that credit card. And there's really no option left for pulling back, for, as you said, taking away the punch bowl, because you do that and it's an instant catastrophe. So what we might see here, if the script plays out again, is that the stock market starts to respond the same way gold and silver are responding right now, and you get a kind of a flash crash. And if that happens, and it doesn't have to be a big flash crash, like a 5% drop in the Dow or the S&P 500 would do it, you'll see all the central banks backtrack and maybe even introduce some kind of new easing or something like that, because they just don't have another choice. So this is a long-term boom market in real assets, because that's what has always happened historically when countries screw up the currencies. Everybody moves out of the currencies and the instruments that depend on for their value on those currencies and into things that don't require a stable monetary system to still have some value. So that's the cycle that we're in right now. And things like today are just squiggles along the way. They don't really much matter in the long run, because we're going to end up where we end up regardless.
So, John, if this is a long-term bull market for real assets, why in your eyes are real assets at the lowest level compared to financial assets that they ever have been? The only comparable time is back in the 1940s or 1950s, but really over the last 20-plus years, actually almost 30 years, real assets have been getting crushed compared to financial assets.
Well, at the beginning of this century, in 2000, gold was about $240 US per ounce. And now it's, what, even today, $1,700 or so. So it's done its job. You know, what it was supposed to do was hold its value over long periods of time to preserve purchasing power. And financial assets are just, they're in the biggest bubble of all time right now. So yeah, they're somewhat outperforming, even though gold and silver have done okay, even over the last few years. You know, gold and silver were both much lower than they are today 3 or 4 years ago. But yeah, financial assets are just the hot assets that the hot money is chasing right now. But that doesn't mean that real assets can't be in a bull market at the same time. Because what we're doing now is just creating so much money and dumping it into the system that pretty much everything is catching a bid. But real assets are relatively undervalued, which means they have a lot further to run, while financial assets are just crazy overvalued. I mean, if you look at all-time low interest rates, for instance, in a lot of places, that's the same thing as saying bond prices are at all-time highs, which is another way of saying they're kind of in a bubble now. And same thing with most big stock indexes that are weighted towards tech stocks and financial stocks. They're all in bubbles, and bubbles burst. So probably what will happen over the next few years is that something will come along to burst the bubble in financial assets, but that will not crush real assets. Maybe in just a very short period, it might give them a V-shaped bottom and then they'll bounce off of it. But real assets will be the thing catching the bid going forward. So over the next decade, anybody with any sense is going to want to be moving out of financial assets that can just be inflated away by governments and into farmland and energy assets and gold and silver and really well-chosen rental houses that will hold their value over time in the face of inflation otherwise. So, you know, this doesn't feel like a bad time at all for precious metals for me. You know, it feels like I'm way up over the last 20 years. But in any kind of a bull market, you do have nasty corrections. And if that's what you focus on, in other words, wow, I bought this thing at 10 and it's down to 4 this week, then, you know, it can be very stressful. And as Rick Rule likes to say, you know, the main function of a bull market is to shake people out of their positions so they don't get to benefit from the bull market. And I think that that is wisdom that we should be taking to heart right now, because you don't want to be shaken out by a few days' bad action or even a year's bad action of something that is in a secular bull market now, which precious metals and most other commodities are.
Well, John, we also heard a year or two back that there's one sector that's also been arguably in a bubble or not in a bubble, or is it a real asset? Is it not a real asset? The cryptocurrencies. We heard, you know, that it was stealing gold's thunder, or that it was taking the shine off gold, and that when there was a rollover in the cryptos, which there was, from 64,000 down to 30,000 just a few weeks ago, that all that money would come back into the precious metals. But a lot of it didn't really. Precious metals have still been under pressure. And now with gold selling off hard, you know, today on Monday, all day, over the last week or two, while gold's been under pressure, cryptos have been taking back off again. They're blasting back up to 45,000 in Bitcoin. Ethereum's blasting back up today. Most of the rest of the altcoins are. So is there any connection between these two asset classes? Is there eventually a move out of gold into crypto, or out of crypto back into gold, or are they not mutually exclusive? Can they just be different markets?
Well, cryptos, first of all, are an emerging asset class, which means we really don't know yet exactly what they are or how they're going to behave and what role they're going to play in a future monetary system. But they have a lot of characteristics of hard assets. And in a lot of cases, like with Bitcoin, they have a limited supply, which is really the prerequisite for a form of sound money. What I think that, okay, two things. One is that to the extent that people are coming to the hard asset class via Bitcoin or Ethereum or something, that's a good thing, because to understand cryptos, you have to understand fiat currencies, because that's the main appeal of cryptos, that they're not fiat currencies. And once you understand the fatal flaw in fiat currencies, and therefore in today's global financial system, you kind of become a gold bug by default. You know, even if you're mostly buying cryptos, you still understand the case for gold and silver. So cryptos, to the extent that they're bringing in a lot of millennials, a lot of techies, a lot of people who weren't previously hard asset guys, cryptos are turning them into potential gold bugs. So and even if you add up all the cryptos and all the gold, you know, value of today's prices, there's still this tiny fraction of the amount of investable capital that exists out in the world. So there's plenty of room. And, you know, 2 or 3% of global investable capital flows into cryptos and gold and silver equally, it would send them all to the roof. Through the roof, because there's, you know, 300 and some trillion dollars of paper capital out there in the world, and maybe 20 or 30 trillion at the most in precious metals, even if you value them really generously, and precious metals and cryptos. So it would be very easy for both cryptos and precious metals to take off at the same time when people finally figure out that you do not want to be in financial assets if you can help it. And that the options, if you want to get out of financial assets, your options are fairly limited, you know? So you've got to get through those little doors somehow, even though there's a lot of you. And that's what's coming for real assets, for especially precious metals, maybe cryptos, and probably for a lot of the other hard asset classes in the future.
Well, John, I hope you're right as a gold investor, but I don't know, the last decade has shown us that financial assets continue to run higher. Gold went on a run there, has faded now. Let's see where we go from here, but it's not such a clean-cut picture, I don't think, right now, because money continues to land in U.S. equity markets, and even if a crash comes in the markets, I think we're going to see gold, and gold stocks get hit as well, so a lot to take in here. Either way, right now, the downtrend for gold continues. What's going to be important is to see how the rest of the trading this week plays out for precious metals and, quite frankly, other commodities. John, thanks as always for your time. I'll post a link to your website below, and we'll chat in another couple weeks. Have a great rest of your week, John.
Great. Thanks, guys. You too.